Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
Welcome, welcome to Steve Kerr, Golden State Warrior head coach. Good enough to join us here once again for a weekly chat. We don't really have much basketball to chat about other than what might happen. And we'll get into the might with Steve Kerr about what might happen in just a little bit here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. No Kolsky today. John Dickinson is in. Steve, thank you for joining us once again. We were just talking about the Michael Jordan miniseries that ESPN is going to be debuting about a couple months earlier than they planned on, thanks to give us a little something to watch through these quarantined times. Knowing the situation and the subject as closely and up personal as you do, will you be interested or watching in any way the Michael Jordan miniseries that ESPN is cranking out, or do you file it all under been there, done that?
Oh, no, I'm going to be locked in, no question. Yeah, I, you know, it's been 22 years since that season, and I don't really remember that much of what happened. You know, time goes by, and you kind of forget stuff, and it was kind of strange that year to have the cameras behind the scenes all season long, every practice, every game, and after a while, we just kind of got used to it, and we figured, well, someday, you know, it'll be good to have a record of all this stuff. Well, it's finally, you know, it's finally here 22 years later. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
When did you sit down for your participation in The Last Dance? When were you doing interviews for this?
In New York City a year and a half ago when we played the Knicks. So not this past season, but season before. I guess that's confusing because this past season, meaning this current season that has been suspended, it was not this season. It was so the 2018-19 season when we were in New York, I did the interview there.
I think it would have been fascinating to see him try to exist in the ever intrusive, always stepping over the fence line world of media that we live in now. Like Jordan had the prowess to give people the Heisman Trophy and they would cower in his fear, where people don't get afraid of that Heisman Trophy anymore, do they?
It's just so different. It would have been a totally different existence for him and for our team. Although we were covered by seemingly a million people, it was more the nature of the coverage that was different, and you were able to at least get away from the constant need for news. You know, second by second. That's what we have now, obviously, with social media. Back then, it was, you know, if you wanted to avoid it, you could avoid it. So the media was there in huge throngs every day at our practices, at our games. But if you wanted to avoid it, you just turned your TV off and turned your radio off, and you wouldn't know a thing.
How much of what they asked you when they were interviewing you came as a surprise to you, and how much was it that you already knew? And as a side to that, how much of it that you knew that you chose not to share because there are violations involved in your sense of what's privacy and what isn't? How much of that did you have to wrestle with during that?
Not a ton, because I think there's sort of an unspoken statute of limitations that kind of runs out on that kind of stuff. You know, I think there's a sense from all of the guys involved with that team that, you know, that was a historic era, and 22 years ago now, so everybody involved has had time to step away from the game at some level, and now it's time to reconnect. And so the stories that you might not have wanted to share, you know, 10 years ago, I think are more fair game now. So I didn't get the sense personally or with some of the other people I know who were interviewed that there was any holding back.
Steve, how much did Michael Jordan's competitiveness, like, stick with you, you know, after you left and as your playing career concluded and you got into other, you know, avenues as a GM and eventually a coach? How much did that, the level that he took things to, remain with you? And you know, are there things you think of just, you know, a maniacal way maybe he handled something and try and relate it to anything you've come across? And maybe who are some of the players that come close? I know Kobe Bryant always gets compared, but that come close to that level of just sheer competitiveness.
Well, Draymond Green is the guy who comes to mind for me, because the fiery competitiveness is what's different. You know, I've played with a ton of guys who are really competitive. Tim Duncan, for example, super competitive, but his competitiveness is more like Steph Curry's, where, you know, you may not see it if you're just watching the game on TV. You may not see the eruptions, the anger. Whereas with Michael, with Draymond, you know, as a teammate or as a coach, you feel it, you hear it, you see it every day in practice. And Michael did a better job than Draymond of kind of covering it up during games. You know, he didn't want to show that he was losing his poise or his composure during games. But there was an equal sort of chip on the shoulder during practice, like every day matters type feeling that both those guys shared.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game, talking about the interview you did for the Jordan documentary. There's another documentary that we just watched last night, Steve, about college basketball on HBO called The Scheme. Have you seen this yet?
I taped it, so I haven't seen it yet. I've been getting a few texts because I know Arizona is involved in the show, and so I'm anxious to see it. What'd you think?
Yeah, so Sean Miller did it, bro. He did it. 100%. So did pretty much everyone in college basketball, and that's what you see. I mean, it is a pullback of the curtain where you see there are absolutely no angels in the recruitment culture, in the guise of amateurism, in AAU cultures. It's basically a documentary about how broken the system is to begin
right.
with, just to carry on the nonsense of amateurism.
Well, then the show's going to basically confirm what I already believed, because I've felt that way for years, and I think there's a huge problem in college basketball, and I think that there's a need for systemic change, and I think the change is actually possible, and it's there, but it's going to require a lot of people to think outside the box and kind of, you know, change their thinking and change their approach. But, you know, because it's a wonderful game. I know as an Arizona grad, I follow Arizona every year, no matter who's playing for them, whether they have, you know, the best recruiting class in the country or an average one. I want them to win, and I watch them play. So there's always going to be that connection with your alma mater. But the system is so screwed up, and it's just in desperate need of change.
Yeah, I think DeAndre Ayton got paid more than you guys paid Ian Clark on an NBA Finals team. It's a little weird. I'll tell you, the one thing that's kind of cool is that the center of the story is Christian Dawkins, who is a really smart kid from Saginaw, and he basically decided he wanted to get into the AAU culture after reading Dan Wetzel's book, Soul Influence. That was a big influence, and so was a high school game he played, I guess, against Draymond Green, where Draymond put it on him so hard that he's like, okay, I'm going to go into the business of basketball instead of an actual basketball.
That's smart. Draymond just drove him right out, huh?
I think he did. I think he did.
Well, I think you know, just thinking about how that whole system works, you know, what I've been a proponent of is using the Olympic model as something similar for college basketball, college sports in general. Meaning, you know, I don't know how long ago it was, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, Olympic athletes could not receive any money at all from anybody. And they couldn't be paid, you know, if they wanted to compete in the Olympics, because it was, you know, quote unquote, pure amateurism. And, you know, the Olympic model, they figured it out. If Michael Phelps wants to do a bunch of Wheaties commercials and make money, then he's allowed to do that and still compete. And I still watch the Olympics, and I'm sure you guys do too. And I think there's a way to do it where the universities don't have to pay the athletes, but what they need to do is allow them to be paid. You know, if Nike wants to pay a kid to go to a certain school, let it happen. You know, like why are we keeping that from happening? You know, and you know, allow it within a system that you obviously you've got to figure out what that system entails. But if you do it the right way, you're able to at least put forth a product that you know is pure. You can put your coaches in a situation where they're not compromised and trying to survive in a murky world of rules and laws and FBI. I mean, it's crazy what my college coaching friends have to go through every year, the stuff that I hear about.
To change the subject briefly, are you guys less inclined to draft LaMelo Ball simply because you don't want to work for two owners?
I saw that story today. How would that work?
I don't know. It's. I guess you pass the ball to the boss.
I guess.
I mean,
that's an interesting one.
I mean, it is. Do you have at least just sort of a working conversational theory on why this makes sense for him now? I mean, he's not buying an elite team, so it was an affordable team. Does this strike you as a business move, or does it strike you as a, hey, I can get it on the ground floor of the next generation or generations of young players?
To be perfectly blunt, I'm not even sure I'm allowed to talk about him since he's going to be in the draft. So I would rather avoid.
I mean, he is a professional basketball player, though. You're not talking about an amateur.
Yeah, but are we sure? I'm not that comfortable talking about anybody in the draft right now.
There are no rules anymore, Steve. It's a crazy world.
Okay, fine. Then let's do it. No, I'm going to avoid that one. I don't know what the rules are. And I also saw the headline, and that was it. I haven't read any of the stories, so I don't want to speculate on all that stuff. I really don't know what the details are.
Has it ever sort of scratched the surface of your brain to think, man, I wonder how cool it would be to be an owner, or man, I'd sure hate to be an owner? Have you ever allowed yourself over one or 12 beers to think about that?
Not really. I think to be a principal owner of an NBA team would be incredibly difficult. I think we're lucky. We've got a really, really good one in Joe Lacob and a great ownership group in general. But it's tough. It is not easy. As you can tell these days, there's so many owners who are in the crosshairs of the media, and it's not always flattering, obviously, if things aren't going well. So that'd be a tough position to be in.
Steve, I want to go back to the Jordan documentary, and you know, one of the parts of it that I'm especially excited about is more of the story of the team at that time. And you know, Dennis Rodman was in some ways probably as big of a show as Michael was at times. How crazy was just the Dennis's aspect of things at that particular point in time as somebody that was a part of it?
Well, he was, you know, he arrived in 96 and, you know, he was not well liked in Chicago because he'd been part of those Bad Boys teams in Detroit that used to beat Michael up. And so it was kind of interesting when he showed up, and we desperately needed a rebounder and a defender at that spot. So we traded for him. He'd been in San Antonio before that. And right from the beginning, he was such a perfect fit on the floor just because of his rebounding, his defense, his energy. The crowd fell in love with him. And he actually had a really good feel for the offense, too. He's a much better passer than I realized when we started playing with him. And then all the other stuff was a little bit of an act. You know, behind the scenes, Dennis was actually quiet and kind of fun to hang around. He'd like to listen to Pearl Jam and just kind of hang out, listen to his music, lift weights, work out, hang out, and pretty quiet, actually.
Did you hear that Home and Garden TV is preparing a 10-part miniseries about Dickie Simpkins?
hadn't heard that one yet.
I'm sure you'll be asked to sit down for that interview soon enough. Steve Kerr joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It is always great to talk with you. Looking to kill time with the nonsense that we have to kill time with, we created a surname bracket. And we have a second round matchup that we have to ask you about and get your evaluation. We have meeting in the second round of the surname bracket. We totally set this up to be a one seed taking on an eight seed in the second round here. But we've got Steph and Del Curry. By the way, it's a two-man game. So two guys, we're playing with the three-point line. Steph and Del Curry versus Klay and David Thompson. It's a pretty interesting two-on-two matchup. Again, the three-point line, Curry's are going to reign from there. David Thompson's going to be an interior presence that is tough for either Steph or Dell to deal with. Is Klay enough of a ball handler to get past Steph and Dell?
I see what you're doing here. You're really, really delving deep into your bag of tricks here, aren't you?
Thank you.
I wouldn't call these tricks.
You weren't even willing to go family affair and go Michael Thompson. You went past that and went David Thompson.
Yes.
Impressive. So you want my prediction?
How would that play out?
Break down the matchup, Steve. Break down this mythical matchup.
That or a great Dickie Simpkins story. What's easier to do right now?
More than anything, I just feel bad for you guys. You desperately need a game. You just need a game to be played somewhere. And just be able to break something down.
Totally. Like online pinochle at some point could be a part of the show.
I'm in. Oh, man.
Virtual game of horse between you and Steph Curry, then. Who wins?
What was the bet?
You and Steph Curry, game of horse. The bet is...
Right now?
No, in your primes. You both are in
no,
your primes.
No, 96 Steve Kerr versus Steph now.
You know, it brings to mind the old Bill Russell joke, which you've probably heard when he was asked, if you played today, Mr. Russell, how many points would you average? And he said, apparently, this is a true story. He said, probably like 10. And the guy says, only 10? Bill says, well, I am 72 years old.
By the way, you know that Jim Barnett has that line loaded and ready to go to explain what he could still do out there if need be.
Although Jim would claim he could average 14.
Oh, with that three-point line, that sweet money corner shot of his, he'd be popping all night.
Okay, what about you today and Steph in 1996?
Okay, now that's the better question. Let's see, Steph would have been how old? Seven?
Yeah.
Yeah, 7, 8.
I don't know if he'd do well with a regulation ball back then. Steve, thank you very much for putting up with our nonsense as always. I'd love to just tap into one serious moment with you because it's something that you highlighted today online on Twitter. I think an awful lot of what you need to know about how America is set up to deal with this came from the governor of Georgia today, who basically said, we just found out that this virus could make you sick. And basically, Georgia is the home of the CDC. As a leader, I'm not asking you to get political, but can you talk about the vacuum of leadership that we're experiencing right now at governmental, state? And I gotta tip my cap to the local level. I think San Francisco and the Bay Area has done an outstanding job.
I agree. Mayor Breed has done a great job. Governor Newsom has done a great job. I was reading today that California is a model for the social distancing and the effect that it's had on the on flattening the curve. So I think our state has done a really good job. It's just, I think more than anything, there's a void of knowledge. You know, that's the problem. That's why I was so impressed with Steph last week when he had Dr. Fauci on Instagram. It's, you know, for the governor of Georgia to not be aware that the virus could be transmitted even from somebody who hadn't been showing symptoms. I mean, that was something we all learned a month ago. And so to me, it's not about politics. It's or even leadership, or I mean, yeah, sure, it's leadership, but it all stems from a void in knowledge. And so I want to just keep reminding everybody, same thing Steph reminded everyone, learn from the experts, listen to the experts, and stay informed, stay educated.
Steve, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you as always.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Golden State Warrior head coach Steve Kerr.
That was Warriors head coach Steve Kerr on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.